Welcome into your Wednesday edition of Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Well, President Biden is flying to Brussels, Belgium, where he is about to unveil a new round of sanctions, but without any really awareness about how these sanctions are crushing Americans back home. Wall Street is happy about it. Russia seems to be doing just fine with it, but you are paying record prices for food and gas. So we'll dissect this new round of sanctions coming up.
Plus, a new whistleblower from Pfizer says that she did actually offer complaints about the trials for the vaccine. The FDA followed up, but nothing was done. We're going to hear her story and kind of parse out what that means.
Well, something was done. She was fired for bringing up this information.
Right, but was the study changed? Was the data changed? We're going to look into that.
No. And hey, guess what this week is? It's the 7th anniversary of the war in Yemen. Kids are back at school. What's left of their schools? 1 million people facing starvation. And the United States continues to pour money and resources into this endless war. We're going to look at that and so much more as Morning Invest starts right now. All right.
Welcome to your Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. I'm Natalie Morris. That's Clayton Morris. We're here to tell you the news and have a discussion with you. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can go to morninginvest.com/join and we will talk to you here live in the show. We love hearing your voice.
That is right. So let's start with our top story this morning, which is the sanctions. So President Biden is heading to Brussels, Belgium, where they had the seat of the European Union, where the president is expected to push for more sanctions, to push more Russian sanctions against the Russian people, which would, now we've seen the effects of these sanctions crushing the Russian people. It's not doing anything to slow down Vladimir Putin, even though Western press likes to pretend that it does. And there is this growing awareness just how bad these sanctions are hurting Americans back home. You know, you're seeing all these rising gas prices back home, and you're supposed to just think, hey, let's just stick it to Putin. Like if you watch CNN, you watch mainstream media, it doesn't matter that you're now paying $8 a gallon for gasoline if you live in Los Angeles. Remember, every time you fill up your tank, you're just sticking it to Putin.
But the truth is, we should be thinking about the fact that when Americans go to fill up their cars, that they should think about sticking it to Putin when they put that gas handle in your gas tank. It's going to cost a little more, and part of it's going to be because of Russia, and just stick it to Putin.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't know about you, but when I'm paying more for food, I'm paying more for cars, I'm paying more for bananas or apples or meat or gas.
I don't understand this logic. Like, we're proving that we can pay more for things and therefore proving to Putin that we don't need you, Holmes. Is that really what that is?
We're just trying to prove that the American people will do whatever we have to, you know, show our love for American values.
Okay, so then
yes,
the
it's
antithesis
American values.
Of that.
Exactly. We care about American values. That's why we continue these Russian sanctions.
I mean, by that logic, when we were using 8% of American oil from Russia, we were loving Putin. Does the reverse ring true? Or I guess we can't really follow this logic, right? Because it's nonsensical.
No, but I mean, again, this is what CNN is. We've been highlighting these moments here because Americans, I don't know about you guys, let us know in the chat. Like, are you more willing now to pay more for gasoline because of Putin?
People we've spoken to over the last couple weeks, they're okay paying higher prices if it means holding Russia accountable for what they are doing in Ukraine. But these prices are likely going to creep higher.
Okay, when you see those types of news stories, you guys, it just means that that lady, that reporter, maybe spoke to one or two people filling up their tank at the gas station behind her. That's not a representative sample. In fact, the most recent survey we have seen showed that only 35% of Americans support any kind of conflict U.S. involvement in this conflict. So I don't think, even though it doesn't make sense from a supply chain standpoint, because oil companies still do have a surplus of oil. Oil companies are still making profits hand over fist.
And
being subsidized by your tax dollars. Most of the oil we're using in the United States is over 90% of it not from Russia. So those arguments don't hold up. And this inflation, was happening before the conflict actually hit a crescendo.
I got some comments yesterday on the... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you remember back when the gas prices first started to go up and we had Pete Buttigieg float this gas tax and everybody's like, oh, we don't want a gas tax. We don't get... But I was like, there's going to come a point where they're adding to the gas prices to get that tax anyway. And it kind of feels like that's partially what already happened. And then I had another question about Biden speaking in Belgium. Do they do that because he's there trying to get them to also sanction Russia? Like, why does he have to travel to talk about sanctions?
He is. He's trying to push the European Union to have broader sanctions against Russia. And meanwhile, we showed you the data last week, I believe, here on the show about what the effects are looking like right now for the European people. And it's not good. Like, it's bad in America. But these sanctions are hurting the West. These sanctions are hurting Europeans. These sanctions are hurting everyone from, you know, everyone from Sweden to France. I mean, it doesn't matter. Truckers being laid off because they can't transport goods anymore because guess what? They're being shut down.
Yes.
On and on. I mean, the high price of gasoline across Europe into Africa. Never mind the fact Africa, you know, let's talk about Africa and the African people who are being slammed because of wheat sanctions. So on and on. Germany this morning coming out saying, you know, we're not going along with additional sanctions. Like, you can fly over here and do all your dog and pony show. I bet France will probably go along with it. You'll have Belgium. You'll have other members of the EU that'll go along with what the United States wants to do. But in the end, it's not stopping Putin, who wants to eradicate Ukraine of these Nazis that are in the military.
Well, the nations inside the European Union have much less say nation to nation, right? The European Union will sort of set a budget, and then all participating nation states will have to go along with it. But then you see smaller countries like Portugal doubling the 10,000 or 10 million euro that it already was going to send. Not in money, but in weaponry and other supplies and personnel, that kind of thing. So you see countries that are small and do not have a balanced budget. I mean, I guess it's not a prerequisite to play when it comes to wartime. You don't have to have a strong balance sheet to get involved in fights.
Right.
The United States doesn't, and we still take on fights all the time.
So why are we doing it, right? Why is Biden flying to Brussels in order to make these demands? Because as Adam Schiff pointed out, this is the Democratic line.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Exactly. I mean, look no further than that, right? We're flying over. He's going to meet with European leaders. He's going to make all sorts of demands. We're going to continue to funnel money, resources, weapons, etc., into Ukraine. And we're going to continue to put on Russian sanctions for what at the end of the day?
Well,
how is it helping anybody? I mean, this morning we have some of these companies now saying, Nestle this morning announcing that they are going to stop producing Kit Kat and Nesquik in Russia. Okay,
boy, life
loss.
Just keeps getting better for them. They're having fewer and fewer processed foods.
Right. No, you know, like, no Kit Kats, et cetera.
If you have any health conditions, this is the place to go. You don't have to ration yourself.
But
from
it's
McDonald's.
Weird because you get all of these woke, you get all of this woke Twitter mob, right, that comes after these companies. It's like Nestle. Why are you, and someone investigates, and they're like, Nestle, why are you still making Kit Kats in Russia? Don't you know what Putin is doing? And Nestle's like, okay, well, we did invest millions to open up a factory in this country, and we employ thousands of people. You want us to just stop? So now what happens, right? They close up the factory, and they leave. Well, they leave computers. They leave jobs behind. And then, as Putin said a few weeks ago, you know, these companies that decide to leave and are going to do this, we're going to take over their companies.
Right. He takes eminent domain. So you can't just say, while you're behaving this way, Russia, we're going to leave our factories untended. And then we'll be back when we like how you are playing ball. That it does not work that way. In fact, in the newsletter recently, we talked about how something like $10 billion of airplanes are being left in Russian ground. And the Russian government's like, sure, we'll take that.
Yeah,
we'll use them.
So it's not an easy cut and dry thing for the woke Twitter mob, people that change their Ukrainian, you know, put their Ukrainian flag over their Twitter face. Like, Nestle, why are you still making Kit Kats in a country?
Well, I've seen protests online against Auchan, which is the French grocery chain,
yeah,
right? That they're still operating in Russia. And people are saying boycott Auchan because of that. So I know I say it terribly. So this morning I actually was in Auchan and they asked me when I was checking out, they're like, do you want to donate €1 on to your bill for Ukrainian refugees? And I was like, oh, interesting. So that's how you're, that's how we're playing this, right?
This morning I was in using one of the, an application that I use every day to check my grammar. And as I'm running my grammar check, it literally highlighted sections where we had talked about Ukraine and it put up a little yellow flag.
What?
Yeah. And it wanted to suggest to me the idea of donating or being a part of their Ukrainian cause with, I mean, I'm using their application. Let me see if I can even pull it up here. And I'm using their application and literally it highlights my text and starts putting putting highlights around it in yellow, like the Ukrainian flag yellow.
Right.
I logged into a live streaming software yesterday to set up my bot, and it has a big thing at the top that pops up, and you can't even dismiss it, that asks you to donate for Ukraine. So you, it sits there at the top of the page while you're doing your work in there, and you can't dismiss it. And I've had that happen. Like, so many apps are updating their profile pictures and everything with it. I mean, it's getting... It's actually really starting to, I wish I could uninstall everything, but I couldn't, I wouldn't have anything then at this point.
Yeah. Oh, I turned it off, so I can't show it to you now. It's like, do you want to keep this on or turn this off? Wait a minute. So let me get this right. A software that I use to check my spelling.
A paid software
that I pay monthly for. Now you have a feature where whenever I mention the word Ukraine, you're going to highlight it and ask me to donate money. And I can turn this on or off, but this is on now by default. Like, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. I mean,
well, we've been talking for several months about the conflict in Ethiopia, which is more bloody by many accounts, and does not have any end in sight. Right. And no such thing happens when we type out the word Ethiopia or when I go to a market. Right. That maybe is still in business in Ethiopia. Nobody. And I just at the same time, I wanted to say to this woman, yes, I support refugees of all countries, right? So can I give you this euro and you split it into like sevenths for all the conflicts going on at this moment? And also just you don't know, right? Who is actually sending that money where? I have friends, because we live in Europe, there are a lot of people who are actually taking refugees into their homes, mostly from Ukraine, right? But at least you're actually taking someone who's not political. You know exactly where your resources are going to a family that no longer has a home, right? That's not at all political. It's hard to know in this day and age, like, what are you actually supporting?
No, again, you to be a part of the woke mob, you need to pay attention to certain things and ignore other things, right? You can all, we talked about the Disney story yesterday. Go back and watch that. Really fascinating. By the way, that whole walkout yesterday collapsed. Did not happen. Like, no one walked out from Disney. But yeah, like Twitter mob.
Clayton, you're wrong. One person did.
Oh, one person did.
Yeah. Were they like, are we going, guys? We're going? No?
I mean, it was a McGuire moment. It's like, who's coming with me?
I walked out. Fish.
These fish have manners.
Yeah. Philip walked out and doesn't even work for Disney.
Yeah, I know. But nobody noticed because it just looked like me going out to the mailbox. But it was
right. They're like, why is that guy just going to the mailbox? He doesn't even work for Disney.
Yeah.
Wait, he's getting in his car.
He must work for Disney. But again, the beauty of wokeness is that you get to pick and choose your outrage. You know, you get to pick what you're upset about today and you get to ignore. Like, you can go all in on why this person doesn't, you know, you can yell at someone for not getting the vaccine, but then totally ignore, like, the big Pfizer story that we're going to talk about today, how they lied to the American people about their vaccine trials and all of the problems, of course, that are associated with their vaccines. Like, if you bring that up, you'll get yelled at in good company with your friends. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
Well, you
know, talk about Bruno.
We're reading this book together right now called This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, and it's about cyber warfare and how war now is turning digital more than ever before. And it does seem to me like the president could be talking to world leaders about things that we just don't have any understanding with and leveraging things that are classified, right? So why would Biden have to actually go to Brussels? Because it seems like the European Union doesn't necessarily want to follow the lead of the United States. And so maybe there's some kind of like magical threat that the president has now to say, oh, you are going to do what the rest of the West is doing. It would seem.
Now, people are saying they're having some trouble with our feed today. Are you guys having...
We've had a bunch of people saying that they can't, like, it's YouTube seems to be going to the thumbnail, then to the stream, then back to the thumbnail. So people have, I've been telling people to refresh.
I see that a lot too.
Maybe it's because we talked about the Great Reset in our title and YouTube is like blocking us. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if that'll fix it. Literally, I don't have the keyboard in front of me.
It just dropped to 33 people.
Again, so YouTube loves to do this. Like, they'll kick people off. So, yes, we were at a couple thousand people, and then suddenly YouTube just blocks us and puts us down to 33 people. I apologize, guys. I don't know what... censorship is strong with this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, that announcement doesn't really get heard because nobody's around.
They're now just jumped back up to 2,600.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't see that, actually. Interesting. Okay, well, we're still here, guys. We'll keep going.
Well, this is an important moment we should mention then, and this is not a free plug, but it is a free newsletter. Again, YouTube loves to censor stories like this and the content that we cover here on the show. We've been taken offline for at least a week before, where they blocked us for a week. Please subscribe to our daily newsletter. It's free. That way, if something happens, we're actually working on a backup plan. We'll be able to email you. And the only way we'll be able to email you is if you are part of our newsletter. It's free. You get it every day. But then we can also send you an email, let you know what's going on. So morninginvest.com. If our channel gets shut down, we have no way of communicating with you at all. So please sign up for the free newsletter. We bring you a lot of value. But plus, we can also then send you a note and say, hey, guys, we are over here now if you want to get this information.
I guess stop being critical of corporations that are standing with Ukraine. So let's change our profile image on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, we should all, everyone just go right now, everyone watching, go and change your profile image to a Ukrainian flag and see if that helps.
There
maybe,
we go.
Maybe or, suddenly or a, our buffering will stop.
Or a Yemeni's flag. Oh, wait, no, wait. No,
no,
nobody,
no.
Nobody's paying attention to
who
that.
Who cares about
nobody
Yemen.
Would even recognize the flag.
Don't even talk about
it. They have
Yemen.
A flag?
Don't talk about these other wars. Let's just keep it focused on Ukraine. Okay. Yes, we got more news to get to. Let's talk about this story now.
All right. Well, as the president continues to approve more money for Ukraine, the U.S. is still scrambling to restock weapons that are sent into Ukraine as well. Because what do you think is an acceptable ratio for how many, say, Javelin missiles you send versus how many you keep? Right. Is there a good rule of thumb about that? Like, should you send all you've got?
Well, let's apply.
Should you keep a few?
Let's apply it to like our daughter, like our 5-year-old. Like when we give her some candy, like pretend that the candy is Javelin missiles. Like, what would we say to her to share with her brothers and sisters? Like, how many is acceptable for her to, like, when she hits the pinata and she gets the candy and no one else got the candy?
I don't think this is a good example. Let's use something like dolls, right? Because it's not a consumable. Like, you're playing with other kids. You need the other child to have a doll in order to play, right? So
right.
We like war. We want other people to have war missiles. So it's estimated that the U.S. has sent now 1,400 Stinger anti-aircraft missile systems and 4,600 Javelin anti-tank missiles since January. And the worry is now that we may actually run out. What, right? So most of these are made through Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, which... are right. Having a halcyon day for their stocks right now. We're sending money, we're sending missiles. What we're really trying to do, though, is avoid sending live human bodies that are not contractors.
Right. So, remember, we can send all of these weapons, everything else, but we don't, if we start sending human beings, that's when it's actually technically labeled a world war. Like, we can send as much crap as we want, but remember what President Biden warned us the other day. This was last week when he said, make no mistake about it, guys, when you start sending humans in there, if you parse his words, it's not just tanks and so forth. When you send the humans, that's when it's World War III. Don't kid a kidder.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what's happening technically today here on the show, but that's what he said, that the idea that we're going to send in equipment, tanks, aircraft, etc., make no mistake about it, and you put men on the ground, that leads to World War III.
But then he turns around and says, we are actively trying to avoid World War III. So we're not exactly sure what they're doing other than running up your tax bill, right? Well, making more weapons, sending more weapons, asking other countries to send weapons. So, yes,
I have to disagree with all that anyway, because I believe it is an economic world war, because the whole world is going against Russia right now with sanctions and stuff with their economy. So
There are actually more countries than you think that support Russia. Azerbaijan, Armenia, maybe not ones that are in the mainstream news.
Right, that's what I mean.
Like Iran. These are not just like countries that we don't care about, although, you know, do we in American mainstream media talk a lot about Armenia? No. But these are Iran. Yes. These are countries that have resources and power and stand with Russia. Iran, which has nuclear weapons, like this is to think that like the whole world is against Russia is just something that the West wants you to think, but it's not true.
Just look at these numbers, though. I mean, David, your question, like, why? Like, again, it's an economic war, but it is. And to your question, why? I mean, it's simply to make these companies rich. That's it. Follow the money. That's all you need to do is follow the military industrial complex money. Look at these Javelin missiles. They're made through a partnership with Lockheed Martin and Raytheon Technologies. Stingers are produced solely by Raytheon. The former employer of Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who served on the board of the weapons maker before his post at the Pentagon. He worked at Raytheon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Secretary of Defense worked at Raytheon.
People forget, too, during Iraq, okay, when the Iraq war was going on, the Iraq conflict, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't a war. The Halliburton had a company over there that had a different name, and they were charging like $35 for a Pepsi. It was like $100 for a bag of laundry to be done. The soldiers didn't pay that. We paid that back to Halliburton for all the stuff. So they inflated all the prices of everything. So when there's a wartime like this, the prices of all this stuff goes up, and we pay the bill for it to these corporations. So I wonder how much each of those missile costs us.
That's a great question. I mean, and do the American people watching right now, do you want your tax dollars going to these clandestine proxy wars that you don't even know about? I mean, again, we're going to talk a little bit later here in the show about Yemen. And I'm going to hopefully knock you guys over the head a little bit and show you some details that are going to blow your mind. And we're going to look at, you know, where these weapons come from. I mean, you literally have Raytheon weapons turning up at funeral attacks by the Saudi government. Saudis attacking Yemeni civilians during funerals. And journalists who go in and then find the casings of these missiles, says right there in the model number, shows Raytheon built in Arizona in the United States of America, paid for.
There was a microchip shortage. So the companies that are making vehicles for war are not suffering in the same way that any kind of consumer vehicles have been suffering.
You know what what you're talking about sounds a lot like, remember when Tony Stark, you know, he's over there in the desert and he sees his missile and it's like being used against him, and he's like, holy cow, I'm funding this. And he kind of starts to turn his thinking around to not do that. But it's like, we know this, but we don't stop it. We don't do anything to stop that. We have missiles on every side of every argument. So it's like, if we have the opposition and we have offensive side or whatever, we're arming them both in many cases. I bet you some of the weapons that Russia uses, we provide.
Yes, that was in the newsletter yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we were using weapons we bought from them.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
I forget.
Yeah, who knows? Wrestler X in our chat, I want to say this. Wrestler says, hey, Clayton, it really irritates me when you all talk about things that the U.S. government is doing, but it hurts us financially, or that it's against U.S. citizens, but there isn't anything we can do to change it. I disagree. I think there's a lot we can do to change it. You know, I think there's a lot we can do to whether it's, hey, you do not want these politicians that your district supports. You can be the change, right? You can start to go to these town hall meetings and stand up for a change. I mean, just one author yesterday in Canada stood up during a foreign minister press conference and said, why are you supporting this Ukrainian aggression? Why are you funneling money from Canada into this war? Why is Canada a part of NATO? Like, and she had to answer for that, and calling to try to get Canada out of NATO for supporting these endless wars in the West. Like, why is Canada involved in this? Like, you can be the change. It can be small, But you can start to affect change by holding meetings with your family and friends. You can share this show with people so they become more informed. You can start to get together and have dinner clubs together and start to share this information. There's a lot of ignorance out there. I mean, people just flip on CNN or they flip on Fox and that's all the news they get.
Yeah.
They're so woefully ignorant that this is how you can start to affect some change.
Well, sure. And the thing is, like, we are in an information war. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and so just having great that point. Information is vital. Because if you just went with the narrative, you know, we would be completely unaware of how much we're getting fleeced by these the corporate elites that are really running everything. And so just shining a spotlight is a powerful weapon.
Put another tip in Alex Jones's jar, the InfoWars. Like, he's been, you know, saying that for a very long time, that we're in an information war.
If only he didn't try and also sell us supplements, then maybe we would listen to him.
And the gay frogs. So,
yeah.
I mean, I asked him about that. I had dinner with him one night. And I asked Alex Jones about these gay frogs, and he just went off on it. He kept talking about the gay frogs. And Tucker and I were like, all right, okay, settle down.
Relax, young man.
Yeah. And by the way, he sells his supplements. He goes off on how, like, we should be eating all these supplements to really take care of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just gonna put that out there.
What? Oh, okay.
Like, I think he's two steps away from a heart attack is what I'm saying.
Well, like, yeah, like, he looks very inflamed.
So all I'm saying is
the stress can do that to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, yes, the supplements thing. But my biggest concern about him is, like, I don't want my whole website taken over by supplement ads every 5 seconds, you know,
right,
where it consumes. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we've got a lot more news to get to. I want to talk about this Pfizer story. You're not going to believe this. We have a female who worked at Pfizer, worked as on part of these trials. Now, I'm coming forward now and blowing the whistle on the stuff that she warned not only Pfizer about, but the FDA about this. She's going to detail that, and she was fired for it. So we'll get there and we'll show you some of the concerns. These are, by the way, these are items that showed up in the documents that we showed here on the show a few weeks ago. If you missed that Pfizer story, go watch the story that we did here a few weeks ago on the Pfizer document dump.
We're going to tell you about the story.
I know, okay, I'm just teasing it.
No more about the story. First, we're going to take a break and tell you about our show sponsor. And Clayton, sit on your hands for a few moments while I tell everyone about our show sponsor. Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay. That.
Yes. Today, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Lumen. So Lumen Skin. Okay. All right, guys. It's skincare time to talk about this. So the first time I ever used Lumen, remember when I got my first Lumen package? I was like, holy crap. I used to just, like, wash my face with some, like, really awful bar of soap. That's what most men do. Mm-hmm. No wonder they get, like, really dry skin and wrinkles, you know? So men can actually get something that's made for them, because it turns out that regular body wash that you've been using is not good. It's not, probably damaging your skin with all of the chemicals that are in there. But thanks to Lumen, you can drop that bottle of that 3-in-1 stuff that you use, you know, like, hey, it's got 3 things in 1. That can be good, right? No, that's not good. Start with Lumen. It's easy. All you have to do is take a 2-minute quiz on their website. They tell you exactly which routine is best for your skin based on your skincare needs. All of Lumen's products come with instructions, so it's extremely easy and it'll help protect your skin from potential damage or future acne. Plus, all of their products are made only using natural ingredients that actually work, like licorice root extract or rose flower oil or charcoal powder, ginger, green tea. Guys, I swear, skincare shouldn't be that complicated. It's a thing we dread doing, but thanks to Lumen, it's simple. I have the lotion that I put on right after the shower. It's great. Plus the exfoliating wash. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just do it. You don't use that 3-in-1 crap anymore. It's very, very easy to use. And all what I want you to do right now is to try it and get a free trial. So just try it for free. Okay? Level up your skincare game with Lumen Skin today. Go to lumenskin.com/invest to get your free trial of Lumen's products. Just try it for free. That's Lumen, L-U-M-I-N, skin.com/invest to get your free trial of Lumen's products. That's lumenskin.com/invest. Our thanks to Lumen. I'm a huge fan of their products. So thank you, Lumen.
Not to be confused with Lumen.
Lumen, like from the Severance. Show Severance. Have you guys been watching Severance?
No.
Oh.
That's a creepy show. Yeah.
By the way, Lumen, totally different Lumen.
It's spelled with an E.
But Lumen, they've even created like a, it's very like Lost, like ABC's Lost, and that's like the way they do sort of the mystery stuff behind it. But if there's a LinkedIn page. They've set up a LinkedIn page now for Lumen where they work. It's really creepy. It's really good. And it's
so the premise of the show, we're just going to go on a small tangent, you guys, is that they have characters who work for this super secret company that you're pretty sure is malevolent. And they work in these different departments, and they've gone through this brain treatment where they don't know anything about their outside life when they enter the building. And so, and then when they leave the building, they don't know anything about their work life. So they are essentially two different people. They can sever their brain from work and personal life. So then when they get to work, they don't know whether they have kids. They don't know whether they're married. They don't know if they live in a palace or a dump. They know nothing. They don't know if they slept well the night before. They don't even know what they had for breakfast. But then when they leave, they also don't know what they did at work. And it creates this kind of like clandestine, what are they really doing? Why do they need that? Can you live that way? At first, it sounds awesome, right? You could focus on your work without wondering, like, is the school nurse going to call? But it's actually done really in a kind of creepy way. It's interesting. It gets into your head.
I have to check it out because I did like the cast.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
What, Adam Scott, who plays? Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. Anyway, so check it out. Severance.
It's streaming on Apple.
Apple TV Plus or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a few weeks ago here on the show, we brought you the story of the judge in Texas finally saying, you know what, Pfizer, you have to release these documents that were associated with the advertising campaign that you then employed across the nation to say that your drugs were safe. Now, initially, Pfizer and the FDA basically tried to keep those documents secret for 75 years. Like, we weren't going to get access to those for many, many, many years, right? Well, judge said, no, we need to see these documents. So we released them. We got a chance to go through them. We showed a couple of pages of them here on the show. There were over eight pages of adverse effects. Everything from herpes to myocarditis. Mm-hmm. The list was endless. These were, in fact, these weren't just symptoms that they just made up. These were actual symptoms and adverse effects that came from people reporting back going through the trial phases of all of this.
Well, it turns out there's a whistleblower now who is speaking out, who worked for a company that Pfizer contracted to manage the trial for the data for the trial, rather. This researcher says that the studies were supposed to be blind, and they weren't, that her company was actually writing like the name of the participant on the samples, so therefore unblinding her. They were not keeping good track of which patient was which. They were mislabeling things, miscoding things. She provided proof of this to the FDA because she actually brought this to her bosses, and her boss gave her the business about taking photos, and to which now the FDA followed up but actually did nothing.
So, well, and also, there's a lot of, real quick, there's a lot of people who, and I've seen their testimonies in Congress, where during the trial, they were given an app and they had to track their adverse reactions, but there was a drop down menu that only let them select like five different things. If it fell outside of that, they could not report it, and in many cases were removed from the trial and told that it was something else.
That's how a lot of, unfortunately, FDA trials work nowadays. And it is allowed to, in some cases, if the drug maker is, you know, powerful enough, you're allowed to drop out people who had adverse reaction, which you have to wonder then, how effective are these trials? Right. But this woman is making a strong point about methodology, right? If you're going to say something's blind, it has to be. If you're going to run a clean lab, and if the FDA is going to actually follow up on something, she was punished for doing this and fired hours later. Let's listen to her story.
I was working on Pfizer's phase 3 pivotal trial on their COVID-19 vaccine. My first day on the job was the 8th of September. And from the very beginning, I noticed irregularities, things that were questionable. I would bring up the concerns to my managers, and it was always, we're understaffed, we're really trying hard to, you know, make this work. You know, at one point when I was going through emails, there were emails from ICON begging Ventavia to follow up on severe adverse events that had been reported. There were several emails about mislabeled specimens, blood specimens, and the nasal swabs. There were specimens that were labeled with another participant's information. It was a nightmare.
A nightmare, so much so that when she went into the lab one night, she says she was there by herself. She went into the lab area and she saw all of these like samples as part of the trial that just sort of like literally like laying around, stuff like laying in the trash, syringes like laying in the trash. So she took a bunch of photos. She's like, this is like highly, highly wrong. I mean, this well, literally should basically end the trial because
and
it's
don't
so
forget
wrong.
That she said that she was working on the phase three part of it. But what Trump was able to do to get it out so fast is they bypassed phase three. So they didn't even go through the entire phase three to get it out to us. It was skipped.
That's a great point. So she says, you know, she took all these photos and then she's like, this is wrong, right? She took it to her superiors and she recorded herself. So this is secret audio of her recording herself talking to her superiors, explaining about the photos. And this is what her bosses had to say about this and how she was fired as a result.
It was a nightmare.
You sent me the photos, thank you. And I didn't pull them up. I mean, now granted, that's whether I'm
I mean, should, not, so I might have should to I not have taken the pictures?
The problem is the breach of confidentiality, and it was on a personal phone because there's sponsor information on those boxes.
At that point, it was clear to me that I wasn't fitting in. I decided that next morning I was gonna report my company to the FDA. And so I did that about 9 o'clock in the morning on the 25th of September. And about 6 hours later, I got a call from Ventavia and was fired on the spot and told that I was not a good fit.
What does it take to be a good fit?
She's not trying to be a troublemaker here.
No, in fact, she tried to do the right thing before she was
right,
fired.
She did try to go to her boss, and you hear her boss saying, I didn't pull them up.
I didn't even want to look at the pictures. I didn't want to see the pictures that you sent.
But the problem is there's confidentiality. Well, how do you know if you didn't open them? And why are we not worried about actually fixing our study to be reliable and valid, right?
Well, and just forget the names. That part doesn't even bother me as much as like, okay, the unblinded piece of this. So we know that John Smith was one of the people. Okay, that's one piece of it. I get the privacy piece of it. But all of the adverse effects that were coming back in these trials were being covered up and misplaced and removed and deleted. Like that to me is the most egregious part.
Well, you look at some of her. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and when she mentions the word, we got to worry about the sponsor. Now, the sponsor generally is a financial backer, right? Or does that necessarily mean
that? I
wasn't
clear on that. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, the word sponsors threw me off too, because it's like, what are you talking about? Like, is like Coca-Cola sponsoring? Like, what are you talking about?
Well,
sponsored,
I mean, look, this, on the this, box. This Ventavia lab was part of Pfizer. I mean, Pfizer was using this lab as part of its trial. I mean, this is part of Pfizer, basically. It's an extension of Pfizer. So when she makes them aware of it at the FDA, and then the FDA does nothing about it, whitewashes it, hides it, we don't know about it. We don't know about the adverse effects of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from myocarditis, as we talked about in these documents, 8 pages of adverse symptoms.
Well, she does go on to say that the FDA called her, and I think she says we spoke for an hour and 14 minutes or something very specific. She was documenting everything so that... I mean, I do think it seems like she has a wrongful termination suit, and maybe that's what she's aiming at. But she also wants this to be out there because Pfizer continued to use her company as a contractor to run the trials, right?
Right. But anyway, she was fired and now is able to come forward about it. So good to her. I mean, these are people that need protecting who are trying to do the right thing. I mean, good for her. She brought this to her manager's awareness. they ignored her. Then when they ignored her and they didn't do anything about it, didn't scrap the data because it was wrong, then she goes to the FDA, and then 6 hours later, she's fired for doing the right thing.
Well, and we've seen how the United States treats whistleblowers. You know, it's like, first of all, the government goes after them, but then through the public opinion, court of public opinion, because they do all this media thing and like dig up things on their past and degrade them or whatever, these people put their lives out there and risk a lot to get us this information, more than people realize.
Sure.
So how do things change? You know, Wrestler X keeps saying, I don't like hearing about this stuff because then I don't know how to change it. It's like, well, I mean, you can go through your life like blinded to this stuff. But, you know, even as like Kid Rock was asked about this on the Tucker Show the other night, he asked him about what do you think about Fauci now? And he said, look, he said, F Fauci. He said, in the beginning, I believed everything he had to say. He said, I was wiping down my doorknobs. I was doing everything but they lied to us. They lied to us. And so what happens is now going forward, we are going to be less inclined to listen to them, you know, and that's what we can do to maybe protect ourselves in the future. When these big companies, these corporations that make billions of dollars, am I keeping you?
No.
Are like, you know, making a comment about what we should do with our lives, then we should absolutely question everything that they have to do, you know, have to tell us.
You don't
have
to.
The thing is, like,
passive aggressively.
Sometimes, George W. Bush,
you know, my
George H.W. Bush in a.
You guys know how sometimes my watch just like responds to us while we're talking here on the show. And I felt a little vibration and I didn't want it to say again, I don't know what you're talking about. So I checked my watch and Clayton called me out. You know, recently we were on a vacation and I was sitting next to an English couple while I had my three kids because Clayton was, I don't know where he, oh no, you went and put Eve to bed. And I had the older two. And this British couple told us, I said, yeah, you know, great to travel again, right? Just sort of, we were making conversation. They said, yeah, well, thanks to the jab, we've had like three or four. And they're telling me, you know, there's no adverse reaction to the vaccine. And I'm like, I'm just talking about being here at the hotel. I don't want to talk to you about this. Where do you get this from? Like, how do you know this? And they started in on telling me to vaccinate my kids. And I'm like, that's interesting. Because there is some data that does suggest some adverse reaction. And my children had COVID recently. So I'm going on that data. So, you know, where does this British couple out of nowhere start telling me what they know? I just was like, I wonder what your Facebook feed looks like.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. Also, you got to think, too, as we're getting this information and as covering these stories and stuff, and you start to learn a little bit more about what's actually going on. Then you start like then their narrative starts to fall apart for everything. And so then eventually the narrative for a third party can't win in the United States, those narratives, the more that we learn, even though we feel like we can't do anything, at some point, the narratives that keep us from getting these people out of power will start to fall apart. But we have to know, like, we have to continually tell people and teach people, because a lot of people are still watching mainstream media and they still believe all that stuff they're being told. So we're just kind of like, one at a time, getting people away from that narrative, and that's what it's going to take. And then at some point, hopefully, we'll be like, no, a third party actually can win, and we can disrupt this stranglehold.
You know what, though? That's me. Like, from starting doing this show and doing more research on things rather than less, I've become one of those who originally was like, maybe would have changed my profile to, you know, a Ukraine flag, maybe would have said that all of these, like, gender discussion in school should be done. I feel like the more I prepare for this show, the more I'm like, wow, who am I? You know, even like I didn't want anything to do with a Hunter Biden story. I thought that was just a smear campaign. But the more you read, the more you research, the more you're like, damn, the crazy people are right. The world is crazy.
I'm proud of you.
But
I will say I'm proud
of
you. You come along. And here's the thing with Natalie, I will say, because that is her, she would have been like, change, you know, she reads, she researches, I think the worst kind of people are inflexible people, right?
Mm-hmm.
If things come along that change your mind because facts present themselves and now we see data because it was hidden from us, and like the worst kind of people are when they're presented with that information who stick to their narrative.
Yeah.
They stick to their... You know?
I always say, don't plant a flag. Don't like you. Everybody seems to want to plant a flag on the left and the right. And they're going to, you know, information be damned. I'm keeping my flag on the left because they're the ones that are right. They're the ones that are for the people. And so we just have to not plant flags and be willing to, you know, take that flag and move it a little bit further to the other side. Because like I've said so many times, none of this is going to get fixed unless we can all come to the middle, because the middle is where the truth is.
William Yates says, weren't you a tech reporter? She was, but she started her life as a journalist for a newspaper in San Francisco. So, and then became in the technology.
Yes, I was on the business page.
Yeah.
So even like if you rewind the tape, the first time David said ivermectin, I was like, no, ivermectin's for horses. Shut up. You know,
but
then
Grover.
When you look at the trials out of Japan, how am I supposed to say what the media tells me? Grover did just have ivermectin this week.
He did.
Yeah. What worries me the most about ivermectin is actually the antibiotic that they put into the soil after they've had it. So, you know, you should deworm your pets. And so we do it in the spring and the fall. And then when they actually, their stool gets into the ground, that antibiotic can harm the bugs and the fungi that the vegetation is dependent on. So if you do give your pets ivermectin, try and pick up their stool for a little while after.
On that note, we've got more. We're going to talk about the war in Yemen in a moment and some really fascinating data about that.
But first, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Shopify. Shopify is a platform that helps you sell things. Cha-ching! So, of course, everyone loves that sound of making money. And if you are the kind of person that runs an online business and sells to consumers, you absolutely need Shopify. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like us the resources once reserved for big business. You can customize your needs with great looking online store that brings to life your ideas, your product, your tools, helps you to really present your products to customers and make money, you guys. It makes your ideas open to endless possibilities. Shopify powers over millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Isn't that exciting? That must be like just the most exciting feeling. You can get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. You access powerful tools to help you find your customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Gain knowledge and confidence with extensive resources to help you succeed. Plus, there's 24/7 support, so you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So if you want to give this a try and start selling your brilliant ideas, go to shopify.com/morninginvest, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/morninginvest right now. That's shopify.com/morninginvest.
Well, you might not have noticed that there is a war going on in the country of Yemen. If you've been watching all of the mainstream media coverage, you'd think there's only one conflict in the world with wall-to-wall coverage on CNN and other places, and that would be in Ukraine. But it turns out, no, there is a war in Yemen happening right now. In fact, this is a big week. We should celebrate this week in Yemen because this week kids are going back to school. So they've started a new school year in Yemen.
My God.
So can you imagine your kids going to this school?
Can we call it what it actually is, a genocide?
Yeah.
Over a war?
You can call it that. I mean, because we're going to get into some data in a moment that's going to solidify that point. But it's absolutely the case that it is a genocide. But hey, kids are back to school. And I love the new air conditioning that they've got in these Yemeni schools.
This is awful.
Like, how did they get in there?
They have to climb in through the window? Like, there's no door at that section. So they had to climb over all that rubble.
You don't see the door?
Yeah, there's a door. That part of it hasn't been destroyed yet by American weapons, so they can still go. But, you know, Americans are calling this air conditioning. Like, this is good for the students. But at least they have a chalkboard.
So can we just, because we're also such experts at Russian-Ukraine politics, can we go over what this conflict is about? It's been going on since 2014.
15.
It is, by some accounts, 2014.
Okay.
Why do you say that? Oh, because we're counting 7 years.
Okay.
Okay. There are 20.7 million people now who have been affected by this. And it's been an uprising against the government. there, right?
So 7 years in this war. So let's take a look at this, right? Here is what is going on here. Well, when the Houthi rebels decided to move into Sana'a, which is the capital of this country, and take over the capital, right? This has been an area that the Houthi rebels and tribes have basically run for generations, right? This section of Yemen, okay? And Saudi Arabia didn't like that. Saudi Arabia has wanted U.S.-backed support for this. And so Saudi Arabia, of course, has been attacking, doing whatever they can, doing whatever they can to drive the Houthi rebels out of the capital city. It hasn't worked, though. And for 7 years, this is what's been going on in this region. Then, of course, you have the United States, which has been funneling additional funds into Saudi Arabia. The United States has been pouring weapons and countless amounts of missiles and javelins and everything else. Jets and everything else into this area while they have been trying to attack this part of Yemen. This area, and basically the country is in many ways like divided by the river here. So you have the north, you have the south. And it's interesting to see like how this has unfolded over the years and how what areas are sort of in control. These are sort of the areas of conflict. Again, the capital, right? Once the Houthi rebels came down, they represented a whole bunch of tribes that came together. Very, you know, wanted control of this area. And I love that these sort of artificial boundaries are put in place. Like, who sets these boundaries, right? Who in these regions of colonialists who set these boundaries and decide that we're going to place a country here like we do in Africa? Like, look at the African continent. All of those lines that are drawn across the African continent are drawn by colonialists, like white people who go in and say, we're going to put a country here, and then we're going to put another, like, box here. And that's your country. This is your country, and over here is your country.
Oh, that's your holy land? Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care. We're going to divide it up however we want. So why is the United States in here? Why are we involved in this? Well, we've decided to send billions of dollars in resources, all sorts of weapons to support the Saudi involvement. You think, oh, the Saudis are just doing all the attacking. Not at all. In fact, United States Special Forces have also shown up in this region. And
drones,
have also been
drone
strikes, but actual human beings are been in from the United States have been here. And what's even more interesting than that is that it's not even just American military that are there, but it's mercenaries. So the UAE and Saudi Arabia come together and hire American special forces to go into this region. And I just find this endlessly fascinating.
And when you say special forces, are you referring to like Blackwater and things like that? Or are you referring to our actual on the salary, on the dole of the United States military?
These are independent businesses. Group. Here's Spear Group specifically out of Delaware. Back in 2018, I remember the story because I wanted to do something about it back then. On a show that I was on, but we didn't end up doing it. But anyway, Spear Group is a group out of Delaware.
They're hired mercenaries.
Oh yeah, these guys are hired. You can go there right now and hire them. You can go to Spear Group and hire these guys to make your successful, whatever you want to do. You can hire these guys to fly in, and here they are.
Not to kill people. This says like they'll, you know, run security at your conference.
Exactly. But what they do is they are hired mercenaries. Here are the Spear Group. They were flown into Yemen.
Is that Dave Bautista?
To go and assassinate leaders on the Houthi side. Hired by the UAE to go into Yemen and on assassination missions. BuzzFeed News did some great reporting on this, broke down this whole story. And it's not illegal. Like, even though the United States State Department says, hey, if you're not in this war, if you're a United States citizen, you can't be involved in war in another country. You can't go and kill people, maim people, attack people. And yet this is what's happening. And when BuzzFeed contacted the State Department about it, they're like, nobody's doing that. And then they called them back a few hours later. They're like, yeah, it turns out they are doing that. And wow, we didn't know that. And nothing's happened to them.
On whose dollar, though?
On UAE, United Arab Emirates. Who, by the way, we can just think of it as a proxy dollar, right?
But then that might explain why in the most recent budget bill, which passed just last week, the intention was only to increase the debt limit so the United States could continue operating. But stuffed into that bill was a little nugget that American citizens can no longer be hired guns on behalf of foreign governments.
Right.
So now that's in a, why the hell was that in a budget bill? But it was, right? So this must be maybe part of that reaction.
But this is how we get in there without actually being in there. We love these proxy wars, right? Again, I just come back to Adam Schiff's comments. Let me play Adam Schiff's comments again. But this doesn't just mean for Ukraine. This is all over the world. This is what we love to do.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Right. So that's what we get to do in Yemen.
Wait a minute.
7 years of a bloody war that we can funnel weapons and money to, but we don't actually have to be involved.
But that's
in.
The
How
same.
Hypocritical. How hypocritical, because they're saying that we don't want to fight Russia here. However, Saudi Arabia has already been here, and they just beheaded like 80 some people recently.
81.
But that's our ally. So
oh,
they've been here and attacked
right?
us on 9/11, uh-huh. and they're our ally, yet we don't want Russia here. But we're still working with Saudi Arabia even after that.
But I mean, so the thing is, in Yemen, we are fighting Russia in Yemen. I mean, it is a proxy war. It's not just us versus Yemen. It's right. us versus Iran. And Russia. Yeah. And so it is a proxy war. That is like I think I brought it up like last week, where this is like a mini world war, because you have so many other actors involved in it that.
Can we stop calling it like that? That it's just a conflict over there? I mean, right. These are world wars. Like, you know, I tweeted about it, and someone's like, Clayton, you're better than that. It's not a world war. Maybe not where you live in your cushy little Twitter apartment or your Martha's Vineyard house, but it is. Maybe it's not where you live in Iowa, but it is a world war, because I'm going to show you the data in just a second. I'm going to show you the money that's been flowing in here. So the foreign money that's I put a little chart together that I built. So this is the foreign money that went into Yemen. Okay, so under Obama, who wanted to support the Saudi Arabians, Obama was the first to go in and offer $126 billion worth of weapons deals to Saudi Arabia, right? Went over there. He was really the first one to do the big ring kissing for Saudi Arabia. So he goes in, offers up $126 billion. Then Trump comes along, offers up $110 billion. Of course, we remember that huge...
Wait. You, not 126 billion, 1.26 billion.
Oh, did I say 1.2? Yeah, it's 1.2. Okay. It's 1.26.
Yep. Okay. I can read. You're right.
Then it goes to $110 billion from Trump. Remember, Trump did that whole like whoop-de-doo when he went there and he did like the sword dance. It was his first big, real foreign trip. And it was a whole pomp and circumstance with the crown prince. And
not really. What did Melania wear?
I don't know, but I was live that whole morning covering it. The touchdown.
I remember, yes.
You remember this now?
Yeah.
And you remember Jared Kushner meeting with the crown prince. They became good friends, the young prince.
Yes.
Negotiating weapons contracts on their behalf. He did a whole sword dance. You guys remember that, where President Trump did the sword dance?
Yes.
Really mm-hmm. awkward. He was given all sorts of robes that have tiger skins inside of it, like Bengal tigers, by the way, that are like nearly extinct. But here you go. We're going to kill. Here you go. Here's a robe that has Bengal tiger skin inside of it. All these lavish gifts. He offers up. It was 110. If memory serves, it was $110 billion deal. Let me pull up my notes here. $110 billion. Yes, $110 billion for the Saudi arms deal. What ended up, of course, going towards this massive quagmire in Yemen.
Okay.
So that was $110 billion there. So let's go back to my little dingus here, my little chart. I call it my little dingus. So here's my little chart. So again, $110 billion is what Trump did. Now, Biden had an opportunity. He was running on this idea that we're going to end this Saudi war, this Trump-Saudi war, as he was calling it, in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what has he done since? Basically relabeled the thing and hasn't. And now, instead of giving $110 billion or $1.26 billion, what the Biden administration has basically done is made our arms to that region now free. So this past week, because we have not been able to secure this oil deal and getting the oil deal taken care of, President Biden said, you know what? We know you're upset with us.
We'll just give you what you want.
We're just going to send you weapons for free instead of you paying for them. So that's where we're at. That's where we are right now. President Biden had made all sorts of promises about this when he was campaigning, that we were going to end this disaster. We were going to stop these this proxy war. He said that at the beginning, that we were going to announce this end for the U.S. support, Saudi-led invasion of Yemen. Did not happen, has not happened, and it continues to this day.
Well, and also, so I wanted to clarify something too.
So when we talk about no end in sight in Ukraine, right? Like, oh, we don't know. This has got to be over soon because we're all paying attention. But we don't mind that there's no end in sight for Yemen. Go ahead, David, please.
Well, I was just going to say, I wanted to clarify that it actually wasn't yet, because I didn't think when Philip said that, that Russia was involved with Yemen. It's Syria that Russia was bombing, not Yemen.
Yeah, Russia's in Yemen.
Track of them.
Yeah. They're definitely in Yemen. I mean, it is.
But they're not bombing Yemen. They're friends with Yemen.
They're with the friends with the Yemeni's government. That's what I'm saying. This is a proxy war. Russia is definitely in Yemen bombing. They're bombing each other. Everybody's bombing everybody over there.
And we get to pretend like our hands are not involved in it, right? Yes. Yet there are U.S. special forces there. So, I mean, just look at, let me just show you the fallout here. And so this is the data as of this morning. Remember, this is a war that's now 7 years old. School has restarted in Yemen. There is a massive cholera outbreak. I mean, there's a child now dying in Yemen every 75 seconds, according to information from this morning. Every 75 seconds. This is Yemen. I don't see people changing their Twitter handles to this. Anyway, here's the fallout as of this morning. There's 100,000 Yemenis have been killed. Many tens of thousands have been civilians, by the way. Displaced right now, 8 million Yemenis have been displaced. And there are starving 1 million Yemenis because of this massive cholera outbreak. And make no mistake about it, like, people are like, oh, it's cholera, it's totally, this famine's totally unrelated to war. No, it's just a weapon of war. Famine is just an extension and a weapon of war. When you destroy fields, when you destroy food, when you destroy water supplies, you know, these famines are as a result of war. And so all of these people who are killed and displaced, this is at the hands of the United States government, guys, funneling millions, billions of dollars in weapons to the Saudis. And so what do we do when we don't get our way with the Saudis? We say that we're going to pull back and sending weapons to you guys. We're going to not send any weapons to the Saudis anymore. We're going to let you end this war. Then they get pissy with us. Mm-hmm. They get angry with us. The Saudis got mad at us. And then we have to go kiss their ring again.
Yeah.
So we go over there and kiss their ring. What do? We just sent them a whole bunch of new Patriot missiles because they complained to us. They said, you know what? We're running out of weapons here in Yemen. And so what did President Biden do? He just sent them free weapons, free Javelin missiles, Stinger missiles, and Patriot rockets.
We're always talking about how scared we are that these, like Iran and all these other countries, are going to attack us here on our own soil. But if you believe the establishment mainstream narrative on 9/11, then it's hypocritical because the Saudis have already been here and attacked us. And it's like, how is it possible to do that. But all these other places are bad and are going to come here.
So I wonder, would it be perceived as kind of a dick move to change your Twitter profile to the Yemenis flag, or would people think that you are,
people wouldn't know what it was,
diminishing the conflict in Ukraine? I just wonder what the general sentiment. Look, I looked it up. So if you want to do that and you stand against this war, then there you go. Yeah. Right.
Well, how many flags we'd have to have on our profile pictures?
Right. That's exactly it. So I think what's interesting at this moment, right, is not just to pick who gets our attention, right, but the fact that the United States is the common denominator of many wars. To be fair, so is Great Britain. To be fair, so is the European Union, right? So you have to stand against all conflicts, not just one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing.
Maybe change your profile picture to people. A globe of people, because just stand with the people and not the governments,
or just a picture of Earth. But instead, like, this is what we do.
Earth isn't going to cover it eventually, because we're now venturing into space with the Space Force. So we probably, how do you represent the universe on a profile picture?
Infinity sign.
There we go.
You're for all possibilities and all.
Let's start a movement. Let's do the infinity sign on our profile pictures, everyone.
I bet you would have such abundance if you did that. Give it a try. See what happens.
Okay, I'm doing it.
You know what's amazing too, when you dig into this data about Saudi Arabia, it's like we actually did, if you believe the reporting on this, we were upset that Saudis kept killing civilians. Like, we're funneling all of these weapons to you, but you keep killing women and children, and you're bombing funerals. That's literally what happened. That was like the moment when the Americans were like, okay, we're going to send a special envoy to Saudi Arabia so we can go over the data before you guys attack. We just want to see, like, are you guys aware that here's how you can prevent killing civilians, right? And the Saudis said, you know, we agreed. We didn't want to be killing civilians, like the low level people. They were like, yeah, we're good Muslims. We don't want to kill the civilians. The higher ups, they didn't care at all. They wanted it wiped off the map, right? So we paid lip service to sending over these envoys to Saudi Arabia to talk with them about killing these civilians. They didn't do anything about it. Nothing changed. If you want to make real change, how about this? Stop sending them weapons. Stop sending them Patriot missiles.
Yeah.
Stop funneling and paying for this proxy war that kills all of these people. But we really care about Ukraine.
Right. And it's also troublesome to see how Ukrainian refugees get like front of the line in front of Yemenese refugees who've been in line for now 7 years, right? And so now we're saying, oh, there's all kinds of programs now. In fact, what country was it? The Netherlands or some Northern European country? The king and queen said they're opening up the palace to Ukrainian refugees just yesterday, which is nice. But again, there already was a long line. So how do we decide who skips the line, right? Mm-hmm. If you are seeking refugee status in the United Kingdom, you have to prove that you can't go back to your country. You don't necessarily have a passport to travel. It's hell. It's a nightmare. But we're allowing so many people to get in front of them. And I just don't understand it. The world cannot pick whose suffering matters more than others.
But I wonder if they open up their palace to these kids, you know? But it seems like their school looks great. Maybe they could offer that, you know, after the Americans help fund and bomb these schools. Like,
right.
You know, here's an opportunity to help out.
Well, and if they're a different religion, I mean, they've proven over and over again that if you're not the same religion, they'll kill you. So they don't. It's like they see those kids as dangerous. They don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to what's trending after Clayton does our last show sponsor for the day.
That's right. So right now, Wall Street is in a bit of a flux. And why not take advantage of this crazy time right now to learn some stuff and to get some free stocks in the meantime? So our friends over at Moomoo want to remind you that before the end of the month, you can get that additional free stock just for opening that account. You get 5 free stocks valued up to $7,000. And an additional NOI stock right now. You know, and what you could do is honestly get this free stock and you could donate it. You could donate the money that you get right now to help some of these refugee crises in Yemen or other places. Like, if you don't need this money, open this free account, get your $7,000 in free money and free stocks and donate it. Help out. Help out in Syria. Help out in Yemen. Help, you know, help make sure that this money is going to a Red Cross or maybe rebuilding schools in other areas. I mean, whatever you want to do or not, if you are struggling, which many Americans are, this is an opportunity for you to get some free money and just put some money in your bank account, pay down some debt that you have and start to learn. So if you go to morninginvest.com/moomoo, you can click on their lessons. They have a whole course section for free where you can start to learn how to trade. So get your free stocks, learn how to trade, sit back as this market kind of goes crazy right now. And when you feel like you're ready to invest $100 and you want to start investing and you know how to do it now, just do it. And then, you know, start to grow that portfolio from $110 to $150 to $500 to $1,000. Like I said, I have trading friends who started with $300 and now they're multimillionaires because they did it this way. They started small and they spent the time to learn. They spent 1 year studying or less, just learning the charts, learning how to trade. And then they started making moves. And that's how they started to build wealth. So you can do that. William Yates says, year over year, I'm up 10%. There you go.
Way to go.
There you go. See, that's all you need to do. Just start small and learn. And you can do it and get those free stocks. Morninginvest.com/moomoo is the place to go to do that.
All right, we're going to move on to what's trending before we get you out of here. These are things that are being talked about online, and we welcome your opinions about them as well. Lollapalooza 2022 is trending because the lineup for the full capacity summer festival is happening and is out. It will be in Chicago. Headliners include Metallica, Green Day, Jane's Addiction, and Manchester Orchestra. These are mostly the ones that I know about. I know Machine Gun Kelly because he's married to Megan Fox and Lil Baby. It does read like something that could have happened when I was in high school in the 90s, for the most part.
I don't know. I'm looking through all the rest of these names. I don't know any of these.
Well, the headliners are like, you know, anyway.
I guess. Even the headliners are...
It's not about who's playing. It's about the fact that there can be a concert in person. Full concert in person in Chicago, I think, is okay. What we're excited right. about.
But Green Day, there's like a few that I even recognize on here.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's pretty small print. You know, I'm the kind of person Metallica. Who thinks I want to go to a concert. And then when I get to the concert, I'm like, I'm bored. I want to go home. Even if it's my favorite audience, my favorite band ever, I get anxious about that. So I can't imagine sitting through all these bands and being entertained by it.
I see a lot that I recognize on that one more so than that last one that we showed where there was like one band that I recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last music festival we spoke about was a rap festival, or hip hop, yeah. I believe. And I only listened to polka. So.
Right. Polka, polka, polka.
Oh.
Okay. Phil Mickelson is trending. The U.S. golfer who.
Lefty.
Yes. He made some controversial comments about Saudi Arabia's proposed golf tour. And so now he's sitting this one out because of it. Specifically, he mentioned that Saudi money would bring them some good golfers, and he was happy about that. This was in an old interview, but it came to light recently. So this is the first Masters he has missed in the last 28 years.
Yeah, I was a little confused about this story. So he's sitting out the Masters for comments he made about a Saudi Arabian...
When you're canceled, you're canceled. But do you not know how the cancel culture works?
He was speaking out against Saudi money?
No, he just said something like, if this Saudi PGA... tour happens, then at least that kind of money will bring us some good golfers. As if like just something specifically about Saudi golfers and Saudi money being in the, you know.
Okay.
So, but you know, there's the rules of the cancel culture are not logical, so don't try and figure it out.
You can't have an opinion, especially something that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if his opinion makes sense.
I don't either, but
I don't know. But we don't want him to hit a little ball with a stick. So I'm sure everyone else who's doing that has opinions I 1000% support when I watch the Masters.
I'm going to put one of the circle with the red line through it and his picture on my profile.
Okay.
I'm canceling him.
All right. Supreme Court is trending because U.S. Supreme Court Justice hopeful Ketanji Brown Jackson endured her third day of Senate confirmation hearings, and it was a rough day of questioning. They're not giving her an easy time. Senator Cruz brought out some children's books, asked her about those. She also was not able to, when she was asked, how do you define a woman? She says, no, you need to be a biologist for that. That's not for me. She did a pretty good job just sort of not stepping on landmines in general.
That was a landmine. That, to me, that was a moment. Like,
sure.
I mean, Senator Marsha Blackburn says, here's the word. How do you describe the word woman? How do you define the word woman? And she said, I can't do that. I'm not a biologist. Oh, you want to talk to my 5-year-old? She can tell you what a woman is.
Do you know what chromosomes are? Does that count for anything?
Wokeness. Here we go. Wokeness hits the Supreme Court. Ted Cruz brings children's books to talk about, critical race theory. And she says, you know, it's not my, it's never been a part of my work as a judge to discuss critical race theory. And yet she specifically wrote a brief that says it's my job as a judge to discuss critical race theory. Like, okay. Like literally word for word. I don't know. The wokeness and the political posturing was just.
Yeah, these trials, I'm like, where are they getting these people? Like these people have climbed through the ranks, and then how do they get to this position? And like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like we're living in a clown world.
Also, the senators and that are able to question her know that they have an opportunity to say something that will go viral, right? And so it's almost like they're looking for that. And so
it's not about her. Yeah. She'll be confirmed. It's about back home. He can look good. Ted Cruz can look good to his Texas constituency.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you get into this like information war, and that's where like, you know, like questioning the side, each side of this is so important, because like that's all it is. It's all optics. You know, it's like they're not really doing anything unless it comes to war budget. Then, of course, they can come together on that. But like everything else, it's just optics. They really don't care. It's just money. It's just money, money, money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are correct, sir. Kid Rock is trending because his interview with Tucker Carlson aired and it was full of fun little things. Here's one. He says that he's good buddies with Donald Trump. And when Trump was in office, he regularly asked him for advice on diplomacy.
And foreign policy.
Questions included things like, what should I do about North Korea, man? I'll let him say it.
His response was like, I don't know. Well, like, what are you?
Yeah, watch
you
it.
You know, he's engaging. You're just cutting it up. Just open with politics. Man, I was there with him one day when he ended the caliphate.
He's talking about being on the golf course playing golf with him. He's like, what's it like playing golf with him? He's like, he's engaging and he's just kind of chilling out.
He wanted to put out a tweet and it was like, I don't like to speak out of school. I hope I'm not, but it was something like, he's like, tell him like, yeah, the tweet was, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, you know, if you ever join the caliphate, you know, and try to do this, you're going to be dead. He goes, what do you think? I go, awesome. Like, yeah, tweet that out. I was like, I can't add anything better than that. But then it comes out and it's reworded and more political and like, you know, a little politically correct. And I'm like, just being pretty, you know, we're looking at maps. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, am I supposed to be like in on I make dirty records sometimes. I'm like, what I doing here?
You didn't think you'd have a hand
in it. What do you think we should do about North Korea? I'm like, what? I don't think I'm qualified to answer this.
Wow.
So for obvious reasons.
I love that he's asking that question. Like, what do you think I should do about Kim Jong-un? Kid Rock, what do you think I should do about Kim Jong-un?
Do you know him?
Hug him? I don't know.
To be honest with you, you know, it's funny, but I would actually rather have his opinion about what to do with North Korea than all of these warmonger, you know, defense military industrial complex hacks in Washington, right?
Sure.
You know,
like, it doesn't seem like Kid Rock is pro-bomb.
I mean, that's why these guys didn't like him. That's why these guys didn't like Trump.
Why do they always ask the people that don't seem to care about people?
Who is the people in this?
I'm saying the people that they talk to or get information from are generals and people that are like, they're the hammer
part of the
looking for the nail.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
They're part of Northrop Grumman.
Because they poll us.
Part of Raytheon.
We tell them what we want in our polls, but they don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When 80% of Republicans want health care, well, they still don't get it. Sorry.
We're going to end on this one. National Puppy Day is trending because that is today. So you must end this show by looking at puppy dog Grover because he was the cutest. You think your puppy is cute, but you're wrong. This is the cutest dog ever, you guys.
Look at my puppy.
And
he is cute. Look at those eyes.
Look at his little.
And this is the hill we will die on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at his little collar wouldn't even fit because his neck was so tiny.
I know, he was so teeny and he was so soft. My daughter, the next morning after we got him, was wearing these like super soft kid pajamas and he was snuggling up on her and she goes, he likes this because they're soft, but he doesn't know he's soft.
Now, is so he bilingual?
Who?
Bilingual. Is he bilingual? No,
because he is Portuguese, right?
He is, and he was born to a Portuguese mama, to a Portuguese family, but we don't speak Portuguese to him. So when he goes to the vet and the vet's like, fica, fica, he doesn't respond to that. Although, in fairness, he also doesn't respond to English commands. He does whatever he wants.
Yeah, when I'm like, here, he's like, looks at me.
And he's like, no, I don't think I will, no, actually.
He's got the Grover agenda.
Exactly.
Yeah. My sister's like, you know, sometimes I think he's smiling at me. And I was like, no, he's showing you his teeth. He's showing you that he's the alpha here. And she's like, what?
No, he does that with his teeth where he's like super happy. When I come home, like he jump and he like lifts his like face up where he looks like he's smiling.
Not what dog trainers would tell you. They tell you that they do that to show you their dominance.
Okay. Well, when I come home, he smiles. He smiles at me.
But also he's dominant to you.
Yeah. Well, I show him who's boss.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am looking forward to your pet photos. You have 2 days to get them in. Today's Wednesday. We show them on Friday. So in honor of National Puppy Day, if you have puppy photos, you get double credit for that. Baby kittens also counts credit.
I love baby kittens.
So for those of you who have already sent in your pets, but not the baby ones, please do so. Pets@morninginvest.com in honor of this very important holiday.
Please, 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 please send as many photos as you can with dogs and cats dressed in outfits. I love those the most.
All right.
We had our 90s party this weekend and at our house, and I put Grover, he has got a hoodie.
Yeah.
He's got like a 90s hoodie. So he had a full on hoodie up. And
it was grunge. Yeah.
Wait, you guys had a 90s party? What does that look like? It's just on your, just the family or?
No, we have like a supper club where it's rotating every couple of weeks is at a different person's house, and you can make it themed if you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
And of course I wanted to. So I chose, I chose 90s theme. So there's, see, look, you got to see the bangs. Like I nice. Did my hair like Brenda Walsh, tie dye, long jean skirt. See how, like, we used to fully wear scrunchies like that. That is a lot like what I looked
That's
like
hilarious. In the 90s.
My daughter, like, a couple months ago, she put on a flannel. She was wearing, like, jeans and a flannel. And she's like, yeah. I look so grunge. And I was like, no.
Yeah. You don't know grunge.
Let me show you grunge. So then she was wearing her flannel around her waist after she had the t-shirt, like, and we were wearing the flannel around her waist. I was like, now you're getting there.
Do you have something of you? Like Clayton was wearing, he wore Vans and these really 90s looking sunglasses.
Nice. So,
that's
yeah, flannel.
Like, that's
oh
grunge.
My gosh, you look like Johnny Knoxville.
He does. Oh my gosh, you do look like Johnny Knoxville.
Welcome to Jackass.
I used to have such a crush on him. No wonder I married you.
No wonder you married him.
Wait, quick. Let Natalie kick you in the junk.
Yeah. Let's go play a nice game of nutball.
Every day.
I'm Johnny Knoxville, and this is nutball.
All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, isn't it funny that the 90s are long ago enough that you can have a themed party? God,
it's really sad in many ways.
I have no idea what you're talking about. They were just a couple days ago.
I should send you my playlist. It was on point, you guys.
Here's Grover in his hoodie.
Looks like he's really enjoying that 90s party.
He was wiped out after that party. Yeah, anyway. All right, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We will be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Sorry for all the weird YouTube technical difficulties at the beginning. Please share this video with someone you think could use the knowledge, the wisdom. Share this video out with anybody in your family. Say, hey, mom, open your eyes a little bit to what's happening in the world, or dad, or whoever, and share it with them. We'll be back tomorrow, everyone. Peace.